I'm Ebony K. Williams, your attorney at law and host. Welcome to Holding Court, where we analyze the very latest legal headlines everybody's already talking about. We dig into how the courts impact the culture. We break it all down for you, and we go straight from gavel to your news feed. And I promise you this, y'all, every single week, we're going to keep it a buck, keep it 100. Right, Dustin Ross?
That's right, Ebony. Let's go ahead and hold court.
Let's do it. Ah, Dustin Ross, my love, darling. I saw a little bit of glimmer on your Instagram, but ooh, how was your weekend? I presume fabulous.
My weekend was incredible. Hung out with some really good friends. Shout out to DeRay, McKesson. Had a great time. Went to Everyday People here in New York, which is an incredible party series that they do in New York and London and LA and shit. So it was really dope. You had to be vaccinated and have a negative COVID test within the last 48 hours to enter the party. So I felt safe. Right. And I had a really, really good time. So shout out to Everyday People. I didn't want to tell too much of my business. So I just put a really quick 2-second glimpse, you know, on my stories because I wanted to get wild with the rest of my time. So there's that.
Well, we know how you do. I need to talk to blind you because I'm actually going to London down soon. I want to get connected to the folks I need to know over there. So that'd be great.
Yes. We will definitely offline about that.
That's dope. I had a very, very, very relaxing weekend. I didn't want to tell too much of my business either, so I just put
some. We know. This ain't our first rodeo, honey. We know what we're doing. Okay.
I put some lovely picturesque stories of the coast. I was able to get to Portland, Maine, which I had not been to. Highly recommended. I mean, 45 minutes from a flight from Manhattan. And, you know, Dustin, it felt like I was in another world. It was so green. It was so picturesque.
It looked gorgeous.
I found hunky-dory.
Yes, I was laughing my ass off. Those of you, if you know, you know.
Okay. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, Google it. It was just fabulous. The food, the people, it just was, it was what my soul needed.
It sounds amazing, Ebony. It looked gorgeous.
It was really, really fabulous. Not so fabulous, of course, are all of our dear loved ones, family, friends, and including Mother Queen Gloria, who are down there in Louisiana right now.
Yes. Yes.
Fighting for their communities, for some of them, their very lives, and certainly their property in the wake of Ida. Ida hit, I think it was a 4 when it made landfall. I think it's reduced down to a 2. So we just want to be very clear. I know my mom is without power. I know a lot, like millions of people in the state have no power. They won't have it for weeks. So y'all keep the folks fighting down there in Louisiana in your prayers.
Yes, please. That's the last thing that region and area needed was another fucking hurricane.
Another one. Oh my God. DJ Khaled.
Heartbreaks.
Yeah, it's terrible. And that's the nature of that region, like you said. You know, I went to law school down there. I was born in there. My family's down there. It's like it's always that, you know. And it's like the minute they get, you know, same with the Houston area, same, you know, whole region. The minute, same with Haiti. Shit.
Yes, you Haiti. Know? My God.
You know, prayers to Haiti. You know, it's just so much. So our prayers to our brothers and sisters and everyone down there for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go ahead and get. Oh, one more thing, because you know. So Ashley had to be messy and put this down to the lease.
I thought that was the name of the hurricane at first. I said, Don, I thought it was Ida, hell. But it was the album.
Okay. So I'm going to let you go first. With thoughts on Donda, Dustin?
I hope the best. God bless everyone involved. And that's it. I have nothing for Kanye West, nothing for his art. I won't be supporting it because I don't support him. He's crossed way too many lines for me to give him my money. So I won't be doing that. But, you know, good luck to everybody or whatever.
That's real. And I respect it. My curiosity and nosiness got the best of me. Is it possible to go back to late registration, that type of error? So I clicked on a few and I started with the Donda chant, which is the beginning of the record. And you know, I'm like funny style when stuff feels like of other world. It felt too cultish. So
it
I had
like to a chant, it. Chant, huh?
Yes. No, it was literally like those who have listened, you know what the fuck I'm talking about. I was like, oh, no, this can't get in my spirit. You know, no. Forward. And then I just kind of played, like hopped around. I listened to about 6 or 7 tracks. You missed nothing.
Okay.
Well, nobody needs me to further shit on the album. That's all over the internet. Like you said, prayers for everybody involved.
Yeah. God bless.
It's a no for me, dog.
God bless. I will admit one thing. I saw a Beats commercial, Beats by Dre commercial with Sha'Carri Richardson in it. Mm-hmm. And I guess the music that was playing behind the commercial is from this album. And it was beautiful. I'm not surprised that Kanye West can, you know, make music that is sonically pleasing, but he's a piece of shit to me. And so I just don't want to get behind it. But it did, what I heard on that commercial, that Beats commercial with Sha'Carri, it was beautiful. The music was beautiful, but I'm just not interested.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that literally. But
it was a bunch of that doom, doom, doom. All the new shit I've heard in passing is just this drum beat, and it just sounds dark and weird. And it's, where's the soul sample? Where's the...
And that's the only Kanye I'm interested in. And I know that I'm limited in that way. You know, I can be very rigid in my musical taste.
So which is fine.
That is not for me. I think this is for a different generation or era of his fan base. And, you know, whatever. Anyway, it's a no for me. But shout out, of course, to dear Sora Donda West, you know,
yes,
another great woman of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, Skiwi. You know, I had to do that. So,
yeah.
You know, the docket's interesting today. I really like this docket, Dustin. I like it because it's got a mix of stories. Jurors, just so you know, we're going to start with some really great news out of my other home state, North Carolina. Whoa, and it's about voting. So pay attention to get your notepad and your pen.
Yes.
Then it's a little, we're going to have a little tea session. Hot in the black fashion world. And this is actually quite appropriate because, you know, we're about to run up on Fashion Week here in a minute here in New York.
Yes, we are.
And we're going to get into, if you watched or are familiar with my most recent Breakfast Club interview, y'all know I like to communicate messaging through my clothes. And I wanted to pay homage to one of the very first queens of streetwear. And that, of course, is Miss April Walker. Streetwear line Walker Wear is alive and well. And somebody must have forgot about that. That's the tease on that. We'll get it. And then we're going to close with some bullshit out of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Leave that there. And then we'll go back to the top. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So straight up, like, again, people are marching, Dustin. I know you see it all over the news and on your social timeline around, you know, making sure that we can protect the right of people to vote in our nation. We know why it's important. We know it's important, all of this. Now, listen, if you want to be out there marching, I love it. I think it's great. Of course, we need to, you know, step on the necks of these Republicans and anybody else trying to limit the right to vote in this country. Voting should be the most natural, easy, and accessible point of American democracy, allegedly. But I love what North Carolina is doing, because there's a lot of different ways to come at preserving optimum opportunities to vote.
Yes.
And one of them, right? One of them is making sure that all citizens that are allowed to vote know that and can vote. So this is the North Carolina Superior Court, Dustin, which is a very high level court in the state of North Carolina. So this is not federal. I want to be clear, jurors. This is state rulings here. In a 2-1 ruling just this past week, North Carolina State Superior Court has restored, given back, re-empowered the voting rights of any North Carolinian who's on parole, on probation, or on any otherwise supervised release. Y'all, that's very, very important. Let me break the numbers down so you understand. So that's saying if you are in North Carolina and you are out on parole or you are currently on probation, you get to vote now, just like you should be able to. It used to be that you would have to complete that probationary period. You'd have to complete your supervised release program. You'd have to complete your parole in order to be able to then go about a process of trying to restore your rights. So imagine the delay, y'all, of all that time that these North Carolinians are shut out of the democracy of our state and our nation. It's very important. Now let's just look at the numbers. We know black folks make up 13% in the U.S. We know that by now.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina, it's a lot more. Just like most southern states, black folks are 21% of the population in the state of North Carolina. That is sizable. That's almost a quarter. Just so you
huge
can
portion.
Big, huge. We big out there in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Right out to North Carolina. But we are 42%. Black folks are 42%. That's almost half of all North Carolinians currently on parole or supervised release.
Wow.
So that means that this ruling, Dustin, from the North Carolina Superior Court matters mostly to us.
Right.
That's absolutely. Now 42%. Yeah, 42% of North Carolinians who happen to be Black now get to vote. How great is that?
Wonderful news.
Great, right? Great.
Wonderful.
Great, 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 great. North Carolina State Conference of the NAACP. There's also a couple other orgs, Protect Democracy Project and Forward Justice. All these groups, of course, had been pressing out the state over this bullshit where it was restricting the voting rights of these former felons. I want to give you a quote, Dee. This is from the NAACP. This is the ruling. Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry. This quote is from an attorney. This is very important, that led the efforts on this particular case. The ruling delivers on a promise of justice by the North Carolina NAACP a half a century ago that all people living in communities across the state deserve to have their voices heard in elections. Duh. That's very, very, very important.
I mean,
and now, yep, 50 years later, just so you know, the voices of those 56,000 people will finally be heard. Y'all, that's not a small number. Do you know 56,000 people can sway an election?
Absolutely.
6,000.
We know that very well.
Yeah. So this is big, y'all. Now, as with all things that are just and right in the world, it's going to be met with opposition.
Mm-hmm.
So you got this punk-ass state senator, Warren Daniel. He's the Republican chairman of the Senate's Election Committee. Talking about this. The judges may think they're doing the right thing by rewriting laws as they see fit without bothering even to explain their ruling. Put a pin in that. But each one of these power grabs chips away at the notion that people, through their legislature, make laws, end quote. Here's the problem, State Senator Warren Daniel. You don't get to make laws in the legislature that violate the United States Constitution. You don't get to do that, actually, sir. So sit your punk ass down. And furthermore, exercise some patience. To that point, and of course, what his punk ass was referring to was a clause in the North Carolina State Constitution that barred convicted felons from voting unless their rights were restored according to the state law. The problem is that state constitutional statute is unconstitutional. And I bet you running up against the United States Constitution. And see, that's something called the Supremacy Clause. Okay, jurors, I'll get into it in another episode, but just whenever a state, any state, has a clause or some statute that runs up in contradiction with the federal statutes, lawmaking machine, like the U.S. Constitution, your state's ass is going to fall. It's called the Supremacy Clause. We'll get into it later. But this is important because, like, all of that riffraff he's talking about, D, like, oh, without an explanation, calm down, sit down, wait your turn. They're going to give an explanation. Okay. Mm-hmm. All of the judges, the three judges from this Superior Court in North Carolina said they are going to issue a formal ruling that will explain their decision later. It's coming. Relax. Both the Republican-controlled state General Assembly and the State Board of Elections, which have all defended, you know, the prohibitive law that keeps these former felons from rightfully voting. They said they're going to wait for the court's written opinion before deciding whether or not to appeal. Well, that's a good idea. Why don't you just sit your ass down and wait somewhere?
Yeah, sit down, wait, and get all the information you need. Mm-hmm. I think that in situations like this, it's just very telling of people's character when they oppose something like this that is so good for so many people for so many reasons. Why are you finding fault with this? Why?
We know why, Dustin. They're finding
exactly
fault because they know that these 56,000 voters, which are disproportionately Black, right?
Mm-hmm.
They know that they're restrictive, oppressive, terroristic political platforms of their party will never be in the political interest of those 56,000 people.
That's right.
Right. Because if you had a political platform that would be appealing to Black voters, that would in any way, amplify, elevate, and make life in Black North Carolina better for these 56,000 new voters, you
right.
would be running to get their voting rights restored.
Right. So that's there you have it. You're telling on yourself, Senator Warren Daniel, who sounds like an old, racist, antiquated motherfucker anyway. So this is, this makes perfect sense. Shout out to these 56,000 Black North Carolinians who will be voting and changing the game. Love to see it.
Absolutely. Shout out to them. And they're going to be, mark my words, because I've worked with former felons who have their voting rights restored, Dustin. Most participatory, enthusiastic, members of the electorate.
Yes.
You know, because they have a greater, they got a great sense of appreciation.
There it is. There it is.
As we all should have. Shit, they know in every category.
You know. City comptroller. It's not her. They vote for everything.
Postal elite, everything. They're gonna listen. That's who you need to find out what's going on.
That's right.
And just some history on this, just because I find it interesting because I'm a nerd. And by the way, shout out also, in addition to the 56,000 Dustin, shout out to these three judges. Well, at least two of them. Shit, it was 2-1. So
yeah, two of y'all. That other one, fuck you. But those two, yes. Yes.
I say that though, because just y'all remember how important the judiciary is. I know I talk about it in a holding court all the time. The judges are the most fucking important part of the whole system, y'all.
Yes, they are. They're the decision makers. Yes.
That's the power plug right there. You know, those two judges were able to overrule and correct an entire 100-some-body fucked up North Carolina judiciary. I mean, legislature.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how powerful the judiciary is.
They struck down that law. Yeah. That's crazy.
You know what I mean? And that power, it just goes to show you how two people are so powerful. So that's why y'all, you gotta vote for your fucking judges.
Have to.
District level, state level, appellate level. And the most important thing the United States president does, I keep telling y'all this shit, who they put on that U.S. Supreme Court and who they put on those federal benches.
Yep, those lifetime appointments.
Lifetime appointments.
Yep.
So the history real quick. The law that two of those very smart, wonderful judges and one fucked up judge struck on Monday, it was enacted. We got to go way back to Reconstruction. Okay? 1877. Mm. That is, remember, Emancipation Proclamation, all that shit. The so-called freedom of slaves, 1865. So 77 is in the heartbeat of Reconstruction. That was the period where we started to actually see Black elected officials, Black men could vote, Dustin. It's crazy. People forget that. It really wasn't the 60s that was the first time Black men in America could vote. It was in the 1870s.
Wow.
It was right after we were freed from slavery. The 13th Amendment freed us from slavery, but as we know, thanks to the good sister Ava DuVernay, many of us, the 13th Amendment also put that little caveat in there, right? Everyone is free from slavery in this country unless you were convicted of a crime punishable by Okay,
yeah,
the pin in that, that's important. Right after the 13th Amendment, we got the 14th Amendment, Equal Protection Clause. Then you got the 15th Amendment. The 15th Amendment said Black men get to vote. Boom. So now you have a litany all across the South, Dustin. This was very, very fucking cool. If you don't know this, Google it and look. You had Black governors, Black United States senators, Black congressmen all over the South. Beautiful thing. And then there was this fucked up presidential election that happened right after the assassination of Abe Lincoln. And it was so close. See, this is why voting matters. It was so close. And remember, the parties were kind of flipped in terms of how we perceive their alliance with the Black community then.
Yes. Yeah.
So it was the Republicans that had, quote, freed the slaves. Remember, Lincoln was of the party of the Republican, and they barely were winning this presidential election, Dustin. So the Democrats, who were the parties of the Confederate South, they were like, we'll make a deal with you. If you take these punk ass federal troops that are keeping Black people safe and alive in this newly reconstructed America where they're supposedly having rights and voting and all this shit, property owning and all this shit we hate, that is a threat to the Southern way of life and supremacy. Mm-hmm. If you remove these federal troops, end Reconstruction, let us go back to the terrorizing, hanging, killing, and brute treatment of Black Americans like we like to do down here, we'll concede the election to you.
Wow.
And don't you know? Because politics are politics. That's exactly what the Republicans did. They pulled them federal troops out of here quick as hell.
Damn.
So, yeah, that's what happened. So So if you're wondering what happened to all those black political capital that was starting to emerge in the 1870s, where did they all go? That's where they went. The federal troops that allowed that to happen in the first place by enforcing some sense of civility towards black folks in the South, they literally packed the fuck up and went home.
Damn.
Per a bartered federal agreement. That's what happened. All right, here we go. 1877, it was a law enacted that disenfranchised, this is in North Carolina, disenfranchised the people that were convicted of felonies. This was all part of the 15th Amendment. So it's like, okay, this will happen. 15th Amendment says black men can vote. North Carolina's like, nah, fuck that. So in 1877, they enact this law that says you can't vote if you've been convicted of a felony. And of course, they're convicting all kinds of black men of random felonies to strip right. them of their voting rights.
Of course they were.
Of course they were. Of course they were. Then in 1977, so this is 100 years later, the new era of black political capital machines in North Carolina, state legislators and shit, they tried to change this 1877 law that prohibited the rights of black men specifically. It was a targeted law for reason, right? They tried to change it, but they had no luck. They had some little procedural shit, but it was still fucking terrible. It still had the impact it was designed to have, Dustin.
100 years later.
So that's here crazy. We are. What is it? I was like, what, 1922? No, here we are in 2021. Okay. Finally, reversing that 1877 bullshit that empowers so many disproportionate black men in North Carolina, black women in North Carolina, 42% of parolees, people that have, you know, been released from their felony conviction. They're out here, you know, making right by the system. Mm-hmm. They're on parole. Mm-hmm. They're on probation. They're on supervised release. They now get to have their voices heard in an election. God bless them.
God bless them. Great news, Ebony. Great fucking news.
Whew. All right, y'all. I went down the rabbit hole there, but I think it was worth it. We're going to run and take a quick break. We're going to pay some bills. Y'all don't go anywhere. We've got much more holding court, a little bit of fashion tea, but it's very important. A big legal issue coming up with Walker Wear and your people over there at Off-White. Y'all know how much y'all love Off-White. We're going to get in and come back. All right, y'all, welcome back to Holding Court. I really wanted to do this story because I'm a huge unapologetic fan of April Walker. I think she's a fucking queen.
Yeah.
I love her brand. I recently became a consumer of her products. I think they're beautiful. I can attest that they're extremely comfortable. A lot of people were asking me what I was wearing on my last Breakfast Club interview.
Yes.
You can check that out on YouTube. And it is a gorgeous rose-colored sweatsuit from Walker Wear. It's great. It's fabulous.
It absolutely was. And it looked really good on your skin too. It complimented your skin color very well. You look good, girl.
Thank you. I paired it with a little pair of Socates and, you know.
Okay. Classic shit.
Classic shit. You know mm-hmm. Little ladylike street. Yep. That's what we do. All right. So here's the thing. Walker Wear is actually suing Virgil Abloh, that's your boy over from Off-White. Y'all love Off-White. Woo, black folks love, and white folks love, y'all love some fucking Off-White.
Mm-hmm. Or,
this is why I don't fuck with Off-White. This is exactly why, Dustin, the nature of this lawsuit. Because Virgil's ass and Off-White's branding, they're being accused in this lawsuit of stealing the original design used by April Walker and Walker Wear for over 30 years. Okay. Specifically, Walker Wear has filed a trademark infringement and dilution complaint. Let me tell you what that is. So that basically Walker Wear is saying that Virgil Nim,
okay,
I'm going to refer to them throughout this docket, that is Off-White and Virgil. Virgil Nim, in addition to, the trademark. So that's saying that Virgil Nim knew and then proceeded to disregard the legal protection of the design, okay, the aesthetic, look, logo, all of that, that April and Walker Wear maintain. That is a trademark image. That WW when people see that, particularly with the color scheme, and this what goes into this in the lawsuit, when it's that gray and black color scheme,
yeah,
with the huge capital W's like that, that is protected under trademark law by Walkerwear. And that then Virgil and Nim created a very, very similar design, quote, in the lawsuit, a design near identical to Walkerwear's storied WWXXL athletic mark design. That Virgil and Nim duplicated that, essentially, right? Put it on their jacket, and now that jacket is selling for $2,234. I encourage you, jurors, to go ahead and Google it so you can see it. Okay, so you can see how close. Dustin, you've seen it.
I have seen it.
What say you?
It literally looks like the same design. And this is not a new story regarding Virgil and his pilfering. Yeah, Virgil and them, and they're pilfering, you know what I'm saying, of these designs. So I'm not surprised, but I'm shocked at like the blatant, you know what I mean, replica that they did. Like it literally looks like they literally stole the design straight up.
The font is the same. Virgil and them didn't try to do no cursive W or nothing.
They didn't give a damn. They just said, we taking that shit.
Yeah, lowercase, nothing. Y'all just copied and pasted the shit is what it really looks like. And you upselling it to $2,000+.
Crazy.
And because it's off-white and because it's Virgil Nim, y'all motherfuckers will give him $2,000 for it. Y'all don't want to give April $200.
Nope.
You know? Legally, as they should, you should always, before you file an actual litigation complaint of this nature, you put the opposing side on notice. Walkerwear says that it did reach out to Virgil Nim at Off-White and let them know, hey, you got a problem. Do you want to, you know, rectify it? That did not work, nor did any settlement efforts work. And because those settlement efforts were unsuccessful, that is why now we have a full-on lawsuit. April and Walkerwear opted to go to the legal system after the settlement efforts out of court failed. Walkerwear followed up its initial complaint with a motion for a preliminary injunction. I'll tell you what that is in a minute. In the hope that Virgil Nim and the retailers, that's far-fetched. I love this, Virgil Nim. Virgil Nim, far-fetched in Saks Fifth Avenue. Those are just some of the retailers named in the complaint that are selling this $2,000+ jacket that looks just like Walkerwear. Mm-hmm. They're all being sued and asking for a preliminary injunction in hope that all of them will desist. Okay, so that is stop on selling the product and making unauthorized use of the Walkerwear mark for the duration of the litigation. So basically she's asking, just stop this shit until we figure this out legally.
Yeah, which is fair. Know what I'm saying? When she doesn't really even have to be fair, because I would be dropping the hammer on their ass however I could. Mm-hmm. You steal my intellectual property like that. A brand I've built, you know what I'm saying, out the mud. And y'all literally going to take my logo straight up. The two W's on the chest, that's Walkerwear shit.
That's Walkerwear. Everybody,
straight up.
And then in that particular color, like maybe it still would have been raggedy, Dustin, but maybe if Virgil Nim had put it in like orange and blue or something, just real off the, like you literally took
made this- it different in some way.
Yes. Come on now. And you know, I just take it personally. Because what, you know how hard it is to be a fucking woman in streetwear?
Yes. And so for them to just shut this down, this is terrible. They ain't no better than Lady Antebellum stealing that lady's name.
That's
Lady
right. A.
It's the same shit right here. The big fish trying to take the look.
But because it's Virgil Nim and because it's off-white,
right.
some of your people, Dustin, going to look the other way.
They are, because the jacket is cute. I ain't even going to front, but now that I know this.
The sweatshirt is cute, too.
And now that I know the story behind it, you know, it's not even appealing anymore. Like, I wouldn't even want to wear it anymore.
No, so I really encourage all jurors, seriously, and I've not talked to April Walker. I've never met this woman in my life. I've not had any communication with Walkerwear, although their IG did pick up when I flexed on Breakfast Club in their piece. Thank you.
Okay, impact.
I've never talked to them, but I'm asking y'all. If you got an extra couple hundred dollars or $100 to spend, go on and cop you some Walkerwear gear. Do that. Well, amplify this sister, amplify this brand so that people will have a harder time, Virgil Nim, just lifting the shit.
Yep. And how lazy for somebody. Virgil has done so many great things and you know, reached so many goalposts as a designer and just in the fashion world. He's done some great things. And I just wish that the creative inspiration kind of matched that. You know what I mean? I wish that he was just, I don't know, a little bit more inspired from other things instead of other people's shit.
Ooh, so, say that. That's a full word. All. And to your point, Justin, it's not like this is the first time that this kind of allegation has happened for, and it's like you said, it's not just Virgil Nam, but you know, that's what we're talking about in this one. This is a quote. This is saying that the brand notes, this is from Walkerware, larger fashion houses are infamous for misappropriating the work of independent designers like Ms. Walker on the assumption that she and others like her will be unable to meaningfully challenge them in legal proceedings.
You know what that means? In other words, bitch, you thought, you know what I'm saying? I'm about to give it to your ass.
Said a different way, your ass is too small and broke to fight me legally, even if you're right.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what that says. And by the way, that's true. I've seen it, Dustin. And this goes across the board. This is much bigger than Virgil now. A lot of these massive corporations, these big companies, big businesses, big organizations, they don't really think they're right. They just know that you can't afford to fight them in litigation.
That would infuriate me. I'm telling you, it makes my chest hot right now, and I don't even make clothes. Khloe Kardashian did the same shit with that Good American brand. Remember they stole their black girls? Design, even like the way her models were posing, the aesthetic of the shoots.
They just lifted the whole shit.
Whole thing.
And they do it because they feel they can, because little old mom and pop black girl, little old mom and pop April, little old mom and pop lady with the Lady Annabelle. They know that you can't afford to fight their team of lawyers who are going to drown you in bills and paperwork.
Damn, that's the strategy. Up. That is so fucked up.
That's why I'm saying, y'all, if you can, go and copy some Walkerware shit. I got a cute little new piece. I'm a wait for just the right time to drop it. Listen, I'm wishing April and Walkerware the very best, because I think that this kind of shit has to stop. It's not okay to take advantage of an expensive civil litigation system, because that's what this really is. This whole docket is really not even about Virgil Nam. It's really about taking advantage of people in an expensive litigation system that says the person with the most money to pay the most lawyers that can file the most complaints, delays, hearings, motions, blah, fucking blah, 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 at the tune of $700, $1,500, $2,000 an hour per lawyer, that person will prevail. That's what the litigation system is built around. We got to stop it.
We got to stop. And Virgil, do better, because as a black person in fashion, you should be approaching this situation differently.
Yeah.
You should wrap your arm around April Walker and you should help her.
It should have been a collaboration.
Yeah. This is so shitty. On so many levels.
Why not Walkerware by Off-White?
Exactly. Let's do a capsule collection. Dude, you see what Gucci did with Dapper Dan?
Well, and that's all about litigation too, though. That's exactly how you think we got that shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't never want it. They have to be made to do right. The only difference is, Virgil, you a whole black man. So I would expect
that. You know better, Virgil.
Virgil.
And them.
And them.
They complicit to all of them, especially the and them. It's always the and them that's fucking everything up. That's who it is. It's them two judges and them, that other judge that fucked everything up.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? It's always the and them, Ebony. Tired it is.
I'm so tired of it too, baby. I love you. All right. So we'll see. Shout out to Sister April and Walkerware. We'll keep y'all posted on what happens with that. All right. We're going to take another quick break. Come back. We got some more holding court for you after this. All right, y'all. Welcome back to Holding Court. This one hit close to home for me, Dustin. I was a free lunch kid.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. But this is the recent headline, y'all. Wisconsin School District rejects the federal free lunch program, saying that the students will become spoiled.
You know what?
Isn't that a terrible headline?
Who the fuck? That's all I can say. Like, who in the fuck? Children?
are going to be
before spread. We even go into these details, just the headline alone rejects federal free lunch program, saying students will become spoiled, Ebony.
They're terrible.
Full stop. Drain the swamp, get rid of everybody in the school district.
Right. Throw the whole thing away, right? Yep. You know, spoil some kids by giving them fucking lunch. All right. This all came about, y'all. This Wisconsin school board voted recently to return. They actually gonna send the fucking money back to the federal government that their taxpayers have already paid for, to return to the pre-pandemic national school lunch program. Okay. So they want to get rid of this lunch program that offered free and reduced price lunches to students who applied and received federal money for them. This is fucking terrible. Just so you know, this particular local school board, Waukesha, is the only eligible school district in the state to reject the funding. Everybody else has some sense. So in this instance, Waukesha is in them.
Wow. Wow.
It's the state of Wisconsin and them. And that's Waukesha, and this stupid ass local municipality is the only one, the only eligible school district, Dustin, in the whole state of Wisconsin to say, nah, we want to opt out of the federal free lunch programs. Terrible. Now, I'm going to tell you why in a minute, because it's like, why would you do that? It's going to make sense. You know, like with everything, follow the fucking money.
Right.
Follow the money. So actually, I'm going to just get straight to it. Basically, by foregoing the federal program, which is entitled the Seamless Summer Option, a spokesperson for that the Food and Nutrition Service Program, a man by the name of Alan Shannon, he said to the Washington Post, it's the Washington Post reporting, legitimate source, that foregoing it could mean a loss of revenue for the Waukesha School District. The reimbursement for the schools operating under the Universal Meal Program is $4.32 per student. Mm-hmm. But the national, that's a little bit more, keep in mind, than the national school lunch program, which is only $3.90. So what you're seeing is, what is that, 40 cent, not even? 38 cent. Mm-hmm. That's what this is really about, that 38 cent per student. Then, of course, let's get to these really bullshit NEM school board members. Of course, her name is Karen, right?
Of course.
Karen Rajnicek? Rajnicek, maybe?
Rajnicek, yeah. Whatever.
Karen, whatever.
Rajnicek. Some bitch named Karen. That's a Karen. That's who it is.
She said that the free lunch program made it easy for families to, quote, become spoiled. I can't with this bitch, Dustin. Then you have Darren Clark, who's an assistant superintendent for business services. He said that this could lead to a slow addiction. An addiction to lunch? Come on.
What?
To the services. And a bunch of other bullshit. But here's the reality. Going back to my own personal connection to this. This is fucked up because when you come from a family that for whatever reason, whether it's COVID, whether it's a divorce, whether it's a parent has died, whether there's a single parent home, whether it's two parents, they work, they just can't make it happen financially for the family. Whatever the fucking reason, it's not the kid's fault. Mm-mm. So why does the kid have to be hungry? And not only why does the kid have to be hungry, Dustin, what I loved about this federal free lunch program that will provide free lunch for any student, regardless of their ability to prove financial need, that's the best part about this program. And it's supposed to be lasting all the way until deep into 2022. That's the whole, and we've already paid for it. Okay. This seamless summer option is a program from the federal government that provides free meals to all students through June 30th of 2022. And they're doing it because of the pandemic. But the reality is that should be the case anyway.
It should just be the way it goes. Yes. Right.
Okay. And because all kids get it, now you're taking away the stigma, Dustin Ross, of just being in that well, how I had to do it. I had a number. You remember this shit.
Yeah,
I had
you get the card. Is,
you know, they go in the line and they pick their fancy stuff. We actually didn't even get to pick some of the available foods. Like, I was really salty about this, okay? I was a free lunch kid. At some point, our school got Domino's pizza.
Okay, look at y'all.
Listen, shout out to Northwest School of the Arts, okay, on Bates Ford Road.
Okay.
Okay. At some point, we got real fancy and Domino's Pizza started delivering to our school. Mm-hmm. But if you were a free lunch kid, you couldn't get no Domino's. You had to still stay on that fucking square tray.
See?
With that square ass, dry ass, crusty ass piece of cheese cardboard. That was the only pizza we could get, Dustin.
Yeah.
And the only reason you would pick that nasty ass shit over the Domino's is because you had to. So that mm-hmm. was a dead giveaway that you were a free lunch kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get
which is people, fucked up.
Which is fucked up because now they're looking at you like, oh, you're poor, you're raggedy.
Creates a separation that doesn't need to be there.
It's like it's already hard enough being a kid. So now you got to like further stigmatize. You know, I'm already wearing these shoes that are from TJ Maxx that are three seasons old.
Yeah. And now you want to try to tell. You know what? This is pissing me off the more we talk about it.
Up.
Like, you really got to be a piece of shit. Karen, whatever your last name is, Darren Clark, which what the fuck is an assistant superintendent for business services any damn way?
Well, that's what he's
what
doing.
Is that? That
title tells on him. Your whole job, Clark, Darren Clark, is to watch the pennies. That's what we're talking about here. Pennies.
Yeah.
That impact this school system's budget. So you're trying to save, to my calculation, about 38 cents per head per kid. You're mm-hmm. trying to make sure that that's accounted for. So you're trying to rip the entire program that provides federal free lunch to June 30th, 2022. And that's going to lead to this. This quote hit home for me, Dustin, because of everything I just said. This is from a parent. This woman is named Chrissy Sebald. She's a soccer coach and a foster parent. And she said last year's decision to make lunch free for all the kids was helpful to her and her foster children.
Come on.
She says this. Chrissy said this, Dustin. Kids called them out for getting different meals and asked them, why do you get lunch every day? When it was free for everyone, you never had to have that conversation because everyone had access to it. So I really appreciated that it evened out the playing field in a way.
How do they not get that?
No, they don't give a fuck because they're trying to save 38 cents per kid. That's what this tells me. But I mean, I'm almost 40. I'm 38 in a couple weeks. You know, God is good. You know, mm-hmm. I eat well these days. You know,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Lobster and shit. Bitch, be at Mastro's.
Look, on the regular. Okay.
On the regular. Eating a good ass butter cake. If you don't know about that butter cake at Mastro's, I implore you.
Then you haven't lived.
You gotta. Part of the reason that I broke up with my, let me stop. Let me just be quiet.
Yeah, we're gonna hold that court on holding court today. Okay.
Woo! Jesus be a censor. Okay. That was too much. But I'm being funny, but I'm being serious. Part of why I've never really done the analysis from a kind of emotional place, but probably part of the reason that I indulge in food and fine dining and drink, you know, you want to drink. And my mom does this shit to this day. She'd be like, oh, you know, I'll take her out to eat. And this happened on Mother's Day, you know, I flew to New York and we went to Del Frisco, one of my favorite steakhouses.
Yes,
yes. Yes, you know, and nice steakhouse. And we, you know, ordered fillets and this. And, you know, I love a in-bone fillet. It's my favorite.
Yes, Ebony. Nice,
flavorful. And then it came time to pick sides. Now, my grown-ass mama talking about, which one shall we get? Which one? She's like, I want broccoli and I want spinach. Which one? Mama, we getting both.
We getting both, Mama.
What are you
That's
talking
right,
about?
Ebony. Yep.
How hard is our fucking work?
Yep, Ebony. Yep.
You know?
The
appreciation is different because I remember the time where I was in line and I had to get the square-ass cardboard cheese and my peers got good-ass Domino's. And then not only did they get a different dining experience than me, then I had to also be doubly shamed, Dustin, because I had to, when it came time to talk to the cashier, I had to whisper in that mumble-ass voice you was doing pre-show. Okay?
Woo! Yeah.
4237. Like, what? 4237, bitch. You know I got free lunch every goddamn day.
Right. Oh, you see me every day. You know what it is. You could have just slid me on through here. We don't have to have this moment.
This moment. Bitch. Shit.
That's how I just don't understand people being shitty to kids. That's what it boils down to, you know, for me. I don't understand people being shitty to children. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why this is falling on deaf ears. I don't understand. I just don't get it. And
it's
I
just
think
trash.
That's
it's a trash decision. The only thing I can tell y'all jurors is that it might be rectified as we record this show today. They are having a meeting this afternoon. This is the school board president saying that a special meeting is going to happen to discuss. Well, like you said, Dutch, what the fuck is there to discuss? Just give all these kids the free lunch and move the fuck on.
I mean, really?
Really?
Like, what the hell?
Penny pinching. But they're discussing a possible action on the National School Lunch Program and the Seamless Summer Option, which, again, their citizens had already fucking paid for. I can't with this story. I'm actually done with it. I'm done with
it. They better be glad I can't be at that meeting on today. They better be glad because I'll be lying.
You pulled up at that meeting, Dustin. Baby.
What? Hopefully we see some videos from it, because if they give it to them the way that I think they should, it'll go viral. Hopefully someone's recording this meeting, because I can't.
It's terrible. These kids deserve every fucking thing, and it's terrible. All right, listen, y'all. Couple things take away from this episode. If you can support Sister April Walker and Walkerware, go buy you a piece of Walkerware and flex on everybody.
That's right. Walkerware.com.
Walkerware.com. If you're working and you're able and God's been good to you, when you go out to eat, don't pick one side, get two.
That's right. Get whatever you want. Goddamn it.
Stop. We're not in that space. God has delivered us.
That's right, Ebony. Off of your hard work and your mom's
and hers too, which is built off of hers. Yes. Mama, you don't have to do that no more. You don't have to pick potatoes or vegetable. We can get both. Okay.
We can get both. And it feels good to do that for her, Ebony. I know it does.
It does. No, it feels amazing. I'm taking her, you know, on vacation for Christmas. You know, we don't have to just do the all-inclusive at the holiday anyway. You know, my mama, up until like 3 or 4 years ago, she would not go nowhere unless it was all-inclusive and unless it was the Holiday Inn. And shout out to the Holiday Inn, because they gave us some lovely family vacations.
Okay? Yes, they did. Yes, they did, the Holiday Inn. But, you know, now there's new options.
There's just a couple more options now.
Yeah.
That's just a testimony for y'all jurors. Okay, listen. Okay. Thank y'all for listening. Follow us as always. Subscribe, rate us, give us comments, slide into our DMs, comment on the actual episode on YouTube. We appreciate y'all. Do that. Holding Court, as always, comes to you from Uppity Productions in association with Dossie Media, presented always by the Black Effect Network from iHeartRadio. Audio services brilliantly provided by One of One Productions. Y'all, we love them. Phelan Company. Yes, Phelan Nim. And their name is
Phelan Nim. That's the good Nim. Yes. That's
good Nim. Joy, yes, Dennis. That's the good Nim.
Our people.
Check them out at oneofoneproductions.com. Join us next week, y'all. We'll have a brand new episode. Court will be back in session. In the meantime, stay safe. Stay vaccinated. Please wear your mask. This Delta variant is real. If you are in a close quarter, Dustin, what will you always have the people do?
Read their terms and conditions and feed them damn kids.